I'll say good morning to each and every one of you again this morning. Yeah, we're back again this morning in the same way, and things are a little more sophisticated this week. We about have a studio set up here today, but that's okay. Yeah, it is good to be with all of you in this way. It's a little different again. I seen a story or a little note somewhere where a pastor said he was going to take a picture of each of his parishioners and tape them to the bench about where they normally sit. So don't think we'll go that far, but trust that you all are staying encouraged. And yeah, we do miss seeing you again, miss you being together. It's just a little different, but thankful that we can share in this way. Just a couple things here in the beginning, maybe some of our announcements, others is thanks probably. Just want to say to continue to pray for Amanda and Tom. The wedding went well there on Wednesday, even though it was a little smaller than they anticipated. It was a beautiful wedding and everything went very well. Also thanks for the different notes of encouragement, different ones of you had sent, whether this morning or other times throughout the past week. Also, I was thinking this morning, let's continue to pray for our missionaries around about in different parts of the world. We've heard from a few different ones, whether by newsletter or other things that came out. I think Dewey and Stacy Yoder in Cambodia had sent out had a video on there that they had sent out on YouTube. Just some of the things they're going through. And yeah, I think Dewey and Stacy are supposed to be coming home on furlough here, I think maybe in May, I think it was. There's talk of the airports all shutting down in Cambodia, so they've decided to stay and trust in the Lord and see how the Lord leads there. And in Spain, I'm sure there's other countries that are being affected as well. Yeah, Dan and Ann Tice and Wayne and Melissa Landis are there in Spain. I think they're on a house, stay in your house. It's pretty... not just like here in the States where they're strongly encouraging that. They're not supposed to go out at all. So yeah, let's just remember to pray for them, not just for this time, but all of the time. Let's continue to pray for one another. Also mention yet here, thanks again to Roger for his willingness to set this up and do this. He is doing a very good job, and it's going well with all of that. One more thing I might mention, we had handed out that questionnaire for the church renovation. With everything happening as it was, we were debating what to do with it for sure, but it would be nice to try to finish that up. We don't know how long it might be till we're going to be together. We might probably put a link that you could go to and fill it out and then email it to us, or if you want to fill the one out that you have and send in the mail or however that works out. That way we can kind of wrap that up. We hope it's not too much longer till we can be together, but that would be a way to bring closure to that and continue to move forward from there. Yeah, different ones of you have already got your responses. If you've already gave that in one way or another, don't worry about filling out anything else, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, just moving on from there, I was thinking this morning, you know, when different times when we're together, we'll get up and I'll make that statement that God is good all the time. All the time God is good. And so maybe we'll say that together this morning. If you're at home, it might seem a little odd, but let's say it together. God is good all the time. All the time God is good. You know, that's always encouraging when we're together and say that, but it can be encouraging regardless of where we're at here today as well. This morning the Lord laid on my heart to bring a message on us coming before the Lord and being still. In other words, recognizing that God is in control, recognizing that God is the one that is sovereign. God knows about everything. And, you know, how many of us like to be still? How many of us like to just sit still? And I was thinking again as I was studying this week that thought of whether you need to teach a child. You need to teach a child to be bad or be good. We all know that you need to teach them to be good and to sit still. They're naturally inclined to just be on the run, so to speak, or they're full of life, however you want to say it, but we need to teach our children to be still. Well, what about us as adults? Are we willing to be still before the Lord? Does our peace and does our joy, another thought that was going through my mind, does our peace and our joy reflect on where we're at in life or what is happening in life, or does it reflect on who God is and what he has done for us? You know, many of us, and I'm sure I'm guilty for that as well, tend to your joy being connected to the circumstances of life. And I believe this time has really made me stop and think, as well as other times in my life, what is our joy coming from? Is our joy and our peace and our happiness coming from our relationship with the Lord, or is it coming from the circumstances of life? And then I was also thinking, you know, we've often said about Christians in other parts of the world that are under persecution and wondering at times, or you hear stories about them walking for hours to get to meetings or to get to church services or walking for a while through the night, or even some of them that need to be not do it in secret. But even beyond that, some in third world countries that don't have means of transportation, and how they walk for hours to get together for meetings. And I guess at times like this, it kind of makes me understand a little more of why they would do that. You know, we tend to, from Sunday to Sunday, meet and don't really give it a thought. It's just normal life for us. But when times like this, it makes us really stop and think of what is most important for us and to us. Thinking a little more about the thought of being still. Did you ever think about all the noise and commotion that is going on around us, the different things that are trying to get our attention? You know, we have the radio, we have our telephones, cell phones, text messages, emails, billboards, ads and flyers, magazines all seem to be shouting at us, trying to get our attention. Stop, look at this, buy this, stop here. You know, our cell phones now, as soon as somebody comments on a story or link or something you've been made a comment on or posted, you know, it gives you a notification. Other things, notifications come up. If we're not careful, we can become busy with being distracted by all the noise that is around about us. Everything seems to be demanding our time. There are so many things going on around us and so much that we can get involved in. If we're not careful, our lives can become a rat race. People are so busy today. We see marriages being torn apart, lives being destroyed, children being left alone to fend for themselves without much parental supervision, all because people are becoming so busy with themselves and being caught up in the cares of this world. You know, there's a lot of things that can demand our time and attention, and there are things that we need to take care of. You know, when this whole thing with the schools being shut down and things, there was almost like a panic in some areas that, you know, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do with our children? Are they going to drive us nuts? Are they going to, many other things could be said there. And I had, different things we could say about that. But the title of the message this morning we want to look at is Be Still, God is in Control. We as Christians must be on guard at all times. Satan knows that if he can keep us busy or distracted or keep our minds off of the spiritual things, then he can be successful and sneaking in and devouring us one at a time. You know, the Bible tells us that Satan has the ability to present himself as an angel of light. He has the ability to come at us as a roaring lion. Many times I believe he comes to us as an angel of light, seeking to devour us. There are times I believe he'll come in like a roaring lion as well. But we need to be on guard and careful and cautious for how he is trying to destroy us. We must spend time with God and dwell on his promises to us. This morning for a text, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn, or if you want to listen, however the Lord is leading you there, we're going to look at Psalm 46, verse 1 through 11, which would be the entire psalm there. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. Says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake, and with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall be made glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth, And he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder, and he burneth the chariot into fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. I want to look at a couple different parts of the message here this morning. The first part is strength and protection from God. We see there in verse 1 where it says that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is a safe place, a safety zone, a shelter from danger. You know, I'm sure there's safety zones, but like on our properties, on a farm, if we allow hunters to come in through the Pennsylvania Game Commission, they come out and put up safety zone signs that if I'm not exactly sure how many feet it is, but so many feet away from the buildings, the hunters are supposed to stay beyond that safety zone. That's like a protection around our buildings, our cattle, our houses, whatever you want to call it. But I believe God is that same way for us. He has set up a protection. He has set up a safety zone. And he is there to help us when we face troubles or trials or tribulations. It doesn't say that we will always be absent of troubles, but rather we can have confidence and courage that in the midst of trouble, he will be there for us and with us. When you think of refuge, you think of a quiet place, a safe haven away from the noise and the battles we face, a shelter or protection. Here it says, God is that refuge for us. He is the one we need to go to. He is our strength and our power and the source that we draw courage from to keep on going. You know, thinking of God being our refuge and taking care of us, there's a little story that was in the fish wrapper many years ago. I won't read the whole story, but I need to read part of it for you to get the whole story. It said, the title of it was Scars Because He Wouldn't Let Go. It was a hot summer day in southern Florida when a little boy decided to go for a swim in a small lake that lay right behind his house. Because the lake was small, he would often swim from one side to the other. He dove into the water like he had so many times before and began swimming toward the other side. He was unaware, however, that as he swam toward the middle of the lake, that something else was in the water too. His father had come to watch his boy and looked out across the water as he spotted an alligator swimming toward his son. His father ran toward the water, yelling to his son as loudly as he could. Hearing his voice, the little boy became alarmed to turn to swim back to his father, but it was too late. Just as he reached his father, the alligator reached him. From the dock, the father grabbed the little boy by the arms. At the same moment, the alligator snatched his legs. That began an incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the father, but the father was so much more passionate to let go. A neighboring father driving by heard the screams and jumped out of his truck and took aim with his pistol and shot the alligator. Remarkable, after weeks and weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived, and his legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attacks of the animal, and on his arms were deep scratches where his father's fingernails had dug into his flesh in his effort to hang on to his son that he loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he would show him his scars on his legs. The boy lifted up his pant legs and then was, with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have big scars on my arms too. I have them because my daddy wouldn't let go." You and I can identify with that little boy. We have scars too. No, not from an alligator, but the scars of a painful past. Some of those scars are unsightly and have caused us deep regret. But some wounds are because God has refused to let go. And in the midst of the struggle, he has been there holding on to us. You are a child of God, and he wants to protect you and you provide for you in every way. But sometimes we foolishly dive into dangerous situations, not knowing what lies beneath the surface, and we forget that the enemy is waiting to attack. That is when the tug of war begins. And if you have the scars of his love on your arms, you should be most grateful. It is evident that he is not willing to let you go. I'll leave off reading there for sake of time. But think about that for just a moment. You know, God cares and loves about us. And I'm not saying every situation that we face, danger or trouble or tribulation, is because of wrong choices we make. I don't believe that. I believe we face things of uncertainty because of the attacks Satan tries to send our way. But we can be thankful that God does care about us and tries to bring us back and pull us back to Him. There's a couple more verses thinking about God being a help and a safe place for us. Psalm 91, 1 through 4 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust, and His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." I was thinking this morning as I was going over my notes here again, I believe I preached a message on this text. We could have a whole message out of just those few short four verses there. But yeah, there's just a lot of good truth packed in there about God being a shadow, God being, He is a refuge, He is a fortress. And the psalmist David saying, "In Him will I continue to trust. He will cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings can we put our trust, and His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Those two words there, shield and buckler. Again, for sake of time, we won't look at that a whole lot, but yeah, just bring out a lot of things that God is there protecting us and being there for us. Verse 2 says, "Therefore will not we fear." It goes on to say, and maybe we'll look at that a little bit more later, though everything else around us is falling apart, we don't have to fear. Fear is the opposite of trust and refuge. Fear is the opposite of safety. The fear we feel today has little to do with a physical enemy surrounding us. In other words, the fear we're facing maybe at times has nothing as totally different than the fear that those in countries that are persecuted for being a Christian face. The fear that they might face is fear of being arrested or fear of being tortured or fear of being killed or put to death because of their faith. There's many other things that we can be fearful about. But here it says, "Therefore will we not fear." We don't have to fear. Sometimes the fear that we face is the fear of the unknown, not knowing what is going to happen. You know, if we could only see the truth of the whole picture, the whole story, we really have nothing to fear if we are relying on God. He is the source of our strength. He has distributed His power equally to all of His children. We have the assurance that He will be the very present help with us in times of trouble. Like I'd mentioned just briefly there earlier, the rest of verse 2 and then in verse 3, even though everything around us seems to be falling apart, the one part of the verse there in verse 2 talks about the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea. You know, it paints a picture, you know, if you can imagine that. In other words, everything crumbling before our eyes, everything just falling apart as we know it. But again, the psalmist David is telling us, as is the word of the Lord to us this morning, we do not have to fear when that seems to be happening. Part 2, we need always remember and recognize that God is in control. You know, God has control over everything. Sometimes we wonder why things happen as they do. Sometimes we wonder why things have to be the way they are. But we do can come back and rest assured that God is in control. We see many things happening in various parts of the world from time to time. The earthquakes, the tsunamis that have happened over the last number of years, the floods, the hurricanes, the devastation that has been caused by hurricanes different times. The tornadoes. I think there was just a tornado touchdown. I forget which town that was, down south somewhere this last evening and destroyed a bunch of things. And other tragic events taking place. God knew we were going to be at this time and this place in 2020 of what we are facing today. We live in the face of grim reality and many times wonder why we see innocent people victimized by some of these terrible events. Yet, I believe God has total control over these forces and these things that happen that don't make sense to us. We don't have to try to figure them out or understand. The important thing is that we have God in our hearts and that our faith is rooted and grounded so deep that we remain strong in the storms of life. I believe many times God protects us from many things in life, but there are times He allows us to go through hard things. And it's in those times that our faith can be tested. Our faith not can be, our faith will be tested and will be tried. And we begin to struggle at times and have questions. But I trust this morning that our faith is rooted and grounded so deep that we can remain strong in the storms of life. A couple verses thinking about God protecting us. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 5. Says it like this: I will extol thee, O God, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, and thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his. Give thanks, and at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, I had to think, too, as I was studying, preparing this week, of how many of the disciples, the 12 disciples that Jesus had chosen when he was here on this earth, how many of them were martyred for their faith. You know, we would wonder and think that that maybe shouldn't be, but I believe that helps us understand that our courage, our strength isn't rooted in the fact that we're not going to face difficulty, but our courage and strength is rooted in the fact that God is faithful to us. And if we are faithful to him, we have a hope of being in heaven with him someday. We must never surrender our faith when we are confronted with a tragedy. There are many things that are going to happen in life that we can't understand or explain. And at one point in time, I'm sure most of us in life, if not all of us in life, will experience something that happens that will overwhelm us to no end. But we can be assured that God will help us to endure with perseverance, to keep on striving in spite of difficulties. Thinking about God always being with us. A couple verses back in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And then verse 6, this is very encouraging. Now, the end of verse 5 is very encouraging because he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But then listen to verse 6. But that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper or my life, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me, or I will not fear what will happen around about me. Continued faith will produce courage. One thing we can be rest assured, that God is in control of the things that are happening in this world and will never turn it over to evil or chance. He will never allow Satan to have victory. He will never allow Satan to have the ultimate final say. He is in control. You know, you see so much around us today, speculation of whether this is all a conspiracy, whether this is something happening and, you know, different things. And I said just the other day, you know, there's certain things in the Bible that prophecies that haven't taken place yet. I'm not big on trying to figure this all out, so don't hear me wrong here. But if this is God's way of working some things out in some of those prophecies, let's just sit back and trust him and watch how he works it out. Yes, we can wonder, you know, what will our children face when I maybe mentioned some of that last Sunday. What will maybe we face yet if we continue to live in the next 10 or 20 or 30 years? But we can be rest assured that God is in control and he will carry us through. To help to calm our fears and for us to have courage, God gives us verse 10 there in our text and says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen and I will be exalted in the earth." In other words, he's going to get all the honor and the glory and the praise from everything in life. That thought of being still, a child that is carrying on, if you make them sit still, it calms them down. And I believe that's the same with us today. If we learn to come before the Lord and trust him and be still, it helps us to stay calm and not get out of control in the midst and turmoil of life. He gives us this command, I believe, to be still, or this, not just us, but he gives this command over and over in Scripture to be still and to rest in him. Psalm 37, verse 7a says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Jesus used this same command in Mark 4, verse 39, when he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." He didn't have to say some big, long, drawn-out thing. He just said, "Peace, be still," and the waters were instantly calm. Think for a moment of the power in that command. A raging storm was brought to halt, and the sea calmed to nothing in an instant. He didn't have to, like I said, put out some big, long statement. It just instantly said, "Peace, be still," and everything happened according to his command. And I believe it can be enough for us this morning as well. The Lord is with us today and gives us that same command. And the same that as it worked on that storm or in that storm, it can work as well for us. There was a devotional I'd seen a while back of a man that had battling, it was called Parkinson's Plus Syndrome. I've never heard of it before until I seen this, but then I looked at it. It's an aggressive form of Parkinson's disease. A couple of his favorite verses were in 2 Samuel 22, verses 31 to 33. It says it like this: "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect." And he wrote a couple of devotionals off of those couple of verses there. Again, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just a couple of things. This man, his name was Jerry Troyer. And he wrote these two devotionals. So this is some of his own words. He started out, he said, "As for God, his way is perfect." And he went on to say that that's what helped him to grasp the fact that God was allowing him to go through these things. Then he said a few more things. "There is no imperfection anywhere in the character of God. Because of that, we can trust him completely. And we can trust that all that he has allowed is in keeping in the perfection of his character. God uses trials to make our way perfect by purification, as fire purifies precious metals. So God may use fiery trials to purify us of dross that we were unaware of. Job put it this way: 'But he knoweth the way that I have taken. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold,' in Job 23:10. God's plan for our lives is the perfect plan. We can trust him no matter what life may bring. A God who can use the crucifixion of his son as a wonderful means of mankind's redemption is certainly not limited in what he can do with our lives if we are willing to yield to him." One more quote of what he said, and then I'll leave off from there. "Though we may not understand the purpose of God's way for us, we can find rest in trusting the perfection of his design." And I had to think of that as I was reading. I've witnessed several people that struggled with Parkinson's disease, and this man was, I don't know what all he faced with this different type of progressive form of it. But you know, for a man to have that kind of testimony and facing the difficulties he was in life. And I have an uncle that lives at the same home where my mom is. And if you ask him how he's doing, he'll always say, "Pretty good for the shape I'm in." You know, he could have a negative attitude about life, but he don't. He tries to stay positive and continue to trust in the Lord. Another quote, and this wasn't one that he had said, but another quote I found while studying says, "To know God is to experience him in the quietness of our hearts. We need to let the peace of God settle down upon us. Be still in the busyness of life can be very difficult, but we need to make the time to come before the Lord and be still." Jeremiah 29:13-14, very familiar verses that say let me just turn to them. I just have a few of the comments wrote here. Jeremiah 29, verses 13 and 14, or 12 and 13, sorry, says it like this: "Then shall ye call upon me when ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto me." And then verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." We must continue to search and seek the Lord with all of our heart. We must live with an attitude of trust and praise, doing all that we can, but leaving the rest in God's hands. One thing we need to continue to do is to study the Word, dig into the Word, study it in the Word. The one verse tells us, line upon line, precept upon precept, meditate on the principles taught in Scripture. Another very familiar verse, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The definition of meditate is to focus one's thoughts on, to reflect or ponder over. You know, there's a lot of Middle East meditation floating around us today that has nothing to do with the meditation that Scripture is encouraging us or telling us to do. That meditation is pretty much saying to empty out your minds and just focus on your inner being. It's kind of in a nutshell. You could say more about it than that. But this meditation isn't saying to do that. It's saying to place our focus on God, meditate on who God is, allow Him to fill our thoughts, allow Him to be what we reflect on. If we focus and reflect on God, it will take our focus away from ourselves and the busyness and the troubles and the trials of struggles of life. We need to take time to get away from the demands and noise of busy life. Some of us, if not all of us, are very busy in the day and age in which we live in. Whether you have young children at home or whether you have other responsibilities, we tend to seem to live a very busy lifestyle anymore. But if we take a few minutes here and there throughout the day to stop and listen and to commune with our hearts and hear from the voice of the Lord, then we can know and keep our faith and trust in the Lord. Part three we want to look at yet is remembering God's goodness. Verse 8 there in our text says, behold, come, behold, the wondrous works of the Lord, what desolation He hath made in the earth. Thinking about that thought of remembering the wondrous works of the Lord. He has seen us through many dangers in life. Sometimes we see them. Sometimes I believe He protects us from things that are unseen. But we need to remember the goodness of the Lord and reflect on how God has given us victory in the past. And reflect how He will continue to help us through the storms of life. When something happens in life and you may think you just can't make it through, remember that God hasn't brought us this far to leave us now. As you begin to reflect on His goodness, He will begin to revive your spirit and give you strength and courage to press on. And as a result, I believe when we do that, we can say like Paul, but even though, let me say this yet before I say that, when we reflect and continue to draw courage and strength from the Lord, we can continue to go through life. And it's then that we can say, as the Apostle Paul did in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are times in the midst of life that we can get what I call tunnel vision, where all we can see is the problem that we are dealing with. Many of us that live here in this area, especially, I would say, if you get on the turnpike here at Blue Mountain and head west, you go through three tunnels within the first, 15 minutes probably. The first two are almost immediately, and then there's one more out there at Mount Union. But when you get into those tunnels, you can't really see. You got two walls around you, and pretty much whether there's vehicles in front of you, but all you can see as you focus ahead is the daylight at the end of that tunnel. And I think sometimes we focus on our problems like that. All that we can see is that problem or that trouble that we are facing. But when you get out of that tunnel, tunnel on the turnpike, and you look around, you realize that everything is still around you. The life is still happening as normal. And I believe that's what happens to us when we place our faith and trust in the Lord, as we take our eyes off of our problems and get out of that thought of tunnel vision as we're laying out the case here and begin to recognize that God is still in control. Yeah, life might not make sense. Life, we might not understand everything, but God is still in control. We need to remember who God is and what He has done for us in the past. But let's also remember what He has promised to do for us in the future. Verse 5 there, right after those couple verses where it pretty much saying there in our text where it's saying everything around us will be at times like crumbling down or falling apart. But it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. In other words, it's laying out the principle that if we keep our faith and trust in the Lord, we can continue to remain steadfast in our faith with him. We can rest in his power. Always remember that God is our protector and our provider. He is the proven one. He is the one that has always been there for us in the past. And he has promised that he will always be there for us in the future. And because of that, we need to stop and praise him. We've got to continue to love him and honor him and trust in him. We need to remember to bless him and continue to serve him. A couple things here in closing yet. We can continue to have confidence in God the way David did. A couple verses back in Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5. Says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily, for thou art my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me. O Lord, God of truth. We could look at several things here in these couple verses, but a couple things we want to look at is where the psalmist David, and I believe we can claim that same thing today. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Let me never forget who you are. Let me never be ashamed of who I am because of what you did in me. But then that last verse there in verse 5 of Psalm 31, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Here in our text, a couple verses I'll read. First part of verse 10 and then verses 1 and 2. It says, be still and know that I am God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. We will continue to trust in the Lord. So as we go through life, as we go through the next coming days and weeks ahead, here again, we don't know how long it'll be till we can meet together for worship again. We trust and hope and pray it's not too long, but let us not get distracted or be destroyed by the things that are happening around us. May God help us to stay focused on him and not get distracted by the busyness of life or discouraged by the troubles and trials that we are facing. And may we always come before the Lord and be still and know that he is God. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We thank you so much for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for loving us and saving us. Thank you that we can be gathered together in this way this morning, even though we're not all together here as a church body as we would like to be. But we can be gathered together and be encouraged by knowing that one another still cares for each other. Lord, I just pray that we would be faithful in praying for one another. I pray that we would be faithful in being there to encourage one another. Lord, I just pray that we could be a people that continues to trust in you, even in the midst of the difficulties and trials and hard things of life. May you lead us and guide us and direct us. May you reveal your will to us, in us, and through us in life, and help us to understand who you are and what you have done for us. Thank you again, and help us to through these times, these difficult times, when we see many people living in fear. Help us to be a shining light and a testimony to those we come in contact with of the hope that we have within us. Help us to be radiant with joy as we go out in the public, even though we're not out as much as we would have used to be. But from time to time, as we rub shoulders, whether it's through work or going to the grocery store, gas station, whatever it may be, may we be a radiant of joy in the midst of the difficulties and trials of the times we are in at this time. Thank you again for loving us and saving us. Thank you again for what you have done for us, and help us all to remain faithful. And Lord, most of all, we continue to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for who you are and for what you have done. And we continue to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for the hope that we have of being in heaven with you someday. Continue to lead us and guide us and direct us. And help us to never forget that you are in control of everything. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.